It's so good to be here on this morning. Amen. 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 Even in the rain. I'm going to say that again. Even in the rain. It's good to be here. Amen. Amen. That's not taking no shots at nobody, but that's God's glory. Even in the rain, it's good to be here. Because one thing I found out, God is not going to stop expressing his glory based upon how we feel it. I'm glad he don't stop blessing depending upon how we feel it. Amen. And I don't think there's a day we get up that we don't think we feel like being blessed. Amen. 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 To God our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to Reverend the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, to Reverend Moore, Reverend Johnson, to our officers and mothers, to our ushers, thank you so much, to our music ministry, thank you for blessing us in song, and to all of our Father's children that are present on this morning, whether you be member, visitor, or friend, it is good for us to be here. Amen. Amen. For your reading of the Word of God this morning, we come from John chapter 20. And beginning at the 24th verse to verse 28. Verses 24 in John chapter 20 to verses 28. And it reads as follows. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "This is Thomas," they were saying, "we've seen the Lord." But Thomas said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger to the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the print, into his, my hand, brother, into his side, I will not believe." But watch this. And after 8 days, this is what I like. Again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them this time. Then came Jesus. Now, this is the second time Jesus showed up, but he wasn't there the first time. The doors, watch this, when he showed up, the doors being shut again, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, Jesus ain't addressed nobody else, but he said it to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless," he said, "but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, here's the response whenever you get through with God. We own him like we ought to own him. He says, "My Lord and my God." Amen. I want to talk to us this morning from this subject, fight for faith. Fight for faith. We've talked about, from the beginning of this series, fight for your testimony. Last week, we talked about fight for forgiveness. This morning, we want to talk about fight for faith. As I told you last week, this series of messages is going to be a bit challenging. Why? Because all of the aspects of the things that we have to fight for as believers is in Christ. Not in the sense, again, that we fight for salvation. Because salvation is a gift from God. You can't earn this. You can't work for salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. You agree with that? John said it again. He says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe that, then again, our charge is to fight for the right to exercise the privileges against a hostile flesh. Our charge is to fight for maturity in areas of our lives that the flesh would not have us experience. Our charge is to fight for Christian growth that the flesh would rather see us stunted instead of matriculating. And our charge is to not fight for the victory, but to fight from our place of victory. If you would, let me invite your attention this morning to the area of faith. Many of us are familiar with the biblical passage that says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I would like to submit to us this morning for your consideration that being a believer in Christ is void and null without a degree of faith in operation. Amen. We don't get faith after we get comfortable in being a believer in Christ. Actually, faith is somewhat operational before we get comfortable. I know it is. Why? Because in order to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there is a measure of faith that has to be exercised. And every human being come equipped with a measure of faith. Amen. Because here's the bottom line. I have to believe that even though I cannot see him, there is a God. I have to believe that even after I accept the fact that there is a God, he loves me. I have to believe that even after I accept the fact of his existence and his love for me, that he died for my sins. I have to believe that even after I accept the fact of his existence, his love for me, his sacrifice on a cross for me, that they placed the dead body of Jesus in a borrowed tomb that I've never seen, that he got up with all power in his hands on Sunday. I have to believe that. A measure of faith that is necessary, and I believe that it is in an area that we should advocate for. And I don't want to be a gifted believer without faith. I don't want to be a Christian leader and operate without faith. I don't want to serve in the Lord's church and not have faith operational in my life. So what good does it do us if you're trying to serve the Lord but you exercise no faith? Faith is important to put on, it's too important rather to put on the back shelf. Faith is too necessary to allow my fears to extinguish my faith. Faith is too vital to my future than to allow myself to fall back and operate by sight instead of by faith. Because nothing gets done in the body of Christ, you trying to do it by sight. It's all by faith. The vehicle then of my experience as a pastor has paraded to me that there are too many believers who have no faith. See, we talk a good faith game, but we don't express a good faith game. Yeah. I've been there, done that before. Yeah. They have a motion and a second motion, but they don't have no faith. They have a scheme and plans, but they have no faith. Some believers, they have the calculations and the projections, but no faith. And I want to encourage someone today to just have faith. Yeah. Before I go any further, is there anybody else in here besides me in this house that have faith? Faith that can move mountains. Yeah, faith that produces hope that don't never end. faith that encourages even when the sky is falling, faith that looks for miracles to happen, faith that expects prayers to be answered. Anybody got faith that prays that broken hearts can be mended? Faith that says that even though I don't have it now, I believe it's on the way. Anybody in here besides me got that kind of faith? In our text, faith is the highlight of this text. Because Jesus, our Christ, is now hours away from the resurrection. Grant me then, if you will, if you don't believe me, grant me, if you will, to roll the clock back and tell you that Jesus has begun or began his instructional ministry with the 12. Many of those disciples, when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, have now fled. Yeah. One of his disciples, Judas, committed suicide over his role in the arrest of Jesus. And now only one disciple, John, was present at his crucifixion. That's Bible. No disciples, watch this, were present at the time, when Jesus had done what he said he would do, and that is raised from the dead. None is present. But hours later, Jesus appears to 10 of the 11 surviving disciples. However, Thomas, who is called Didymus, is not present at the gathering of the disciples called for by Jesus. Because Jesus had just told Mary, she said, Mary, go down there and tell them boys I'm going to meet them down there in Galilee. Just go down and go tell them what I said. That's what he said. You go tell them. And so Thomas is not there. Isn't it interesting that Thomas is rarely mentioned? If at all, because the New Testament, when it wasn't, it says when he is talked about, the gospel writer John said that Thomas is called Didymus. Now, when we see that word Didymus is not a name, but rather a descriptive. It's not a name, it's a descriptive. It describes about this person. The word Didymus means a twin, which suggests that there is someone out there, somewhere, who is either his paternal or fraternal twin, or has the same type of characteristics as Thomas. Yeah, because guess what? There are some folk who may sit among us that you can refer to as Didymus, because they all have a twin. Because they have some folk that act like they act, some folk that talk like they talk, folk that's negative, like they're negative, fussy like they're fussy, complain like they complain, controlling just like they are, a no-show just like they are, show ownership of the church just like they do, and faithless just like they are. Somebody in here you can call Didymus. Because Thomas, watch this, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, and that sounds like a lot of folk that I know. There are some people who claim Jesus, but they aren't around like they should be. That they want a church funeral, but rather have gone to church. That they want church benefits, but want to have them without supporting their church. They want visitation to their hospital room, but look here, don't you come to my house to visit me. Thomas is missing. Thomas is gone. He's gone AWOL. He can't be found. Thomas is not in the house. Thomas's face is not in the place. His smile is not in the aisle. And his body's not in the house. Because Thomas is not in the house, watch this. He has missed a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be in the house when Jesus appears to a mass group for the first time. He missed it. I will admit that I have discovered you can miss some things when you don't come to church. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. You can miss some things when you don't come to church. You can miss the fellowship with the saints. You can miss the delivering power of God. You can miss others coming to Christ. You can miss the saints of God being on one accord. You can miss the empowering testimonies of others. You can miss the high praise and worship given to God. You can even miss the word of God that can help you. You can miss some stuff if you ain't showing up at the house. And there are some of us that are determined that no matter how things get in church, no matter what transpires in our lives, guess what? We're going to be at church. See, here's some folks. See, these you ride or die.
that's here this morning, that these should ride and die for, because they don't care what's going on the outside, how the weather's gonna go. Look, they gonna be here anyhow. I don't care what it's doing tomorrow morning. Guess what? We got to go punch Mr. Wilkins' clock. And Mr. Wilkins say, now, if you don't be here, you're going to get rolled up. We don't want to get rolled up. We don't want none of them referral slip. But why we do the church like that? The church is the only place we can miss them when we get ready, however many times we get ready. We don't care whether you're the preacher, deacon, whatever you may be. You can miss as many times you want, but you don't want nobody to say nothing to you. You want to come up here and pick up where you left off at. You need to cut it. Amen. No matter if some don't want to be here. Baby, guess what? I don't show up here because of anyone in this room. No, I'm here because every Sunday, every Bible class, every day, every choir rehearsal, every usher meeting, every deacon's meeting, every mother's meeting, mission meeting, the Lord may have a habit of showing up. Yeah, I see the doubt in your eyes. Yeah, so let me remind you of something, baby, that when you walked through those doors, you should have failed him. When you held hand with the other believers, guess what? You felt, look, you should have known he was in the midst. When you prayed for somebody else, but didn't you feel the presence of the Holy Ghost? When the praise team down here singing, guess what? Didn't you know his presence was here when you sang and rehearsing? Don't you feel like shouting and ain't nobody even sitting in the pews? When you came down to the church just to have a little talk with Jesus, didn't he talk back to you? Baby, don't nobody show up here because of you. We show up because of him. Yeah, there are some folk like Thomas that are missing. And then there are some like Thomas who show up and act like nothing can happen without them. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. But I come stop by to tell you, just die. See if we can do anything without you. Thomas is confronted with some good news. Listen to this. Here's the good news, Thomas. We've seen the Lord. that is not only good news. That should have been shouting news and should have confirmed a faith principle that Jesus taught. Let me help you out. Jesus taught by faith that if you tear down this temple, I'll raise it up again. Jesus taught by faith that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus taught by faith that as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, so he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Jesus taught by faith that if his enemy destroyed the temple of his body, he would build it again in 3 days. Jesus taught by faith that the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the cornerstone. See, Jesus taught these principles. Why? So that his early followers and his subsequent followers would understand a faith principle is that if Jesus says it's going to be so, I have to have faith to believe that it will be so. Jesus, watch this. I'm almost done. Jesus made over 200 promises for this life and the life to come to his disciples then. And guess what? He's made them to us today. I know you don't believe that. Let me share a couple of with you what he said. He said, you will see. You will. He said, you will see bigger things than these. You will see heaven open. He said, you will see the kingdom of God. You will enter the kingdom of God. He said, you will receive eternal life. You will receive living water. You will become fishes of men. You will catch people. Your sins are forgiven. He says, your reward will be great in heaven. You will have treasures in heaven. You will receive the same measure then. You mete it out to others. You will have life and have it more abundantly. You will produce good things. You will stand firm. He said you will be justified. You will be identified by the Savior and be acknowledged before his Father. He said you will be exempt from the gates of hell prevailing against you. You will find out that nothing will be impossible to you, and you will bind things on earth that shall be bound in heaven. Those are just a few of the promises. And there are many more. There is no record that Thomas was emotional, thrilled, or excited. Bible don't say that. See, something we don't need to put in the Bible if it's not there. Again, watch this. He has been called Didymus, a twin. And there are some people that are not excited about where the Lord goes, what the Lord has done, neither where the Lord has been. Because Thomas says, in essence, I don't believe your report. That's what he's saying. Fact about it, the way this text is written, it almost gives you the picture of someone who interrupted the story of the disciple. If I may, they was gathered together and said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And hold on, y'all, wait a minute. I don't want to hear that. Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger. He had to have been a brother or something, somewhere closer. Except I put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I ain't believing nothing y'all talking about. He said, I would not believe. But Thomas's problem, watch this, is that his faith has fallen prey to an ungodly attitude that is more about him than it is about him. Your faith, baby, see, that went over your head then, didn't it? See, your faith ain't never about you. Everything that you do, everything that our faith hinges upon is on him. The capital H, the capital I, the capital M. You will note that when the disciples saw Jesus, not one of them expressed a doubt about who he is. Because when I look at the text, nobody asked this. They didn't say, Jesus, can I touch you to make sure it's you? Jesus, can I take a selfie and put you on Instagram, you know, while I'm got my finger in your side? Can I do that? Jesus, if that's who you really are, unless I can do all of this, I would not believe. They didn't say all of that. They didn't say that. Because guess what? What I found out, those are some of the most dangerous words that could ever come out of the mouth of a believer is that I would not believe. Amen. And when you have someone who gives you good news and promise, how dare you get sassy with them and say, I won't believe. Believe this or not? But I can't be a Christian and not believe in what God said. I can't be a Christian and not believe that he's alive. I can't be a Christian and not feel his presence. I can't be a Christian and not believe his word. And I cannot be a Christian and not believe in his promises. Thomas, well, just not only said this, but for 8 days, the text lets us know Thomas carried this non-belief system with him. For 8 days. Because watch this. Some people carry it around for years. Not just 8 days. But we know some folk that carry this unbelief system around with them for years. Because guess what? They join the church, but they don't believe in what the Lord has done. That they have seen the impossible perform. Guess what? They still don't believe that God did it. Just because, baby, listen to this, just because you weren't there when somebody else got blessed, just because you weren't there when somebody else got healed and delivered, doesn't mean that the Lord was waiting on you. No, God is not going to, look, he's not going to wait on you. God is going to do whatever it is with you or without your company. He don't wait on you to show up to try to convince you, baby. And that's why we can't ever get anything done in the church. Why? Because of the fact that we think it can't be done unless so-and-so is here. It's not there. Yeah, you ain't gonna say amen. I've never read in the Bible that God gave gifts to one person. But it says that there are a multiplicity of gifts that he places among the body of Christ, but you gotta have faith to operate in it. You think you is. You ain't the only somebody can read a scripture. You ain't the only somebody can pray. You ain't the only somebody can sweep the floor. You ain't the only somebody can preach. You ain't the only somebody can sing and play the music. You ain't the only somebody can usher and help folks navigate through the service. You You know somebody can shout. God played plenty of gifts in the church. My question is, why you keep on sitting back and you're not operating in faith? Let me tell you something, baby. This is for free here. Look, there's plenty of room in the body of Christ for everybody in here to be operating in that gift. Because guess what? Myron Holmes ain't going to be here always. No. And I may not die out of this. You may decide after the day, guess what? He got to go. But you're going to bring somebody else in, and they can't do this unless they got faith. Then watch this. Why we say our Thomas lack of faith meets sight? 8 days later, and I'm done, Jesus shows up again. And early on in the text, after Mary came back, Jesus showed up at around verse 19, 20. He showed up. That's the first time he showed up. Now he shows up again. For those who's keeping score, when Jesus got up on the third day, that Sunday morning, it started a time clock, watch this, of 40 days that he will walk the earth until his ascent back to heaven to take his place at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, watch this, had been out of their sight for 8 days, and when he shows up, he goes right after Thomas. He said, no, nobody else. It's almost as if Jesus had a beef with him. But he showed up to Thomas because, guess what? There is no mention of a dialogue other than Jesus showing up in the room where the doors were shut, and he's in the middle of the room. Now, that would have scared the producers out of me. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, one of y'all just pop up. Now, you know, the natural reaction of black folk, they couldn't have been black, is to run. And if I run, all y'all gonna run. But he shows up, watch this. When he shows up, watch this. Here's the difference. Here's why they didn't run. He showed up and he said, peace be unto you. I'm sorry if you didn't get excited there. But they have, look, they have the door shut because being a Christian is politically and legally dangerous. These folk was high now because guess what? They weren't believing that Jesus was alive because guess what? That thing could have caused them their life. All of a sudden, Jesus doesn't walk through a door. He just shows up and say, peace be unto you. I might be talking to the wrong folk. But has Jesus ever showed up for you? And when it looked like the doors were locked, he came on in and opened them up anyway. While you was hiding out, Jesus still came in and found you in your situation. And he shouted, peace be still. And then Jesus not only shows up, but he speaks out, peace be unto you. He's been gone for 8 days. Watch this. But he's both man and divinity. But watch this. Here's what gets you. And the divinity side of him has heard what Thomas said. He heard what he said, y'all. The divinity side of him heard what he said 8 days ago. Jesus, watch this, turn to him and gets right up in his face without an announcement or verification and says, Thomas, you talked all that big talk last week. Come here. Reach out your finger and look at my hands. Reach into my side. Thrust it into my side, Tom. And then he says, don't be faithless. In other words, don't be opistos. In other words, that's the Greek word. He said, don't be lacking in faith. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be disbelieving. But he said, but be believing. However, faith is not developed by the stuff you see. It's developed by what you can't see. Yeah. This is a walk by faith. Yeah. Jesus was not, watch this. You're going to miss this. Jesus was not challenging his sight. Jesus was challenging his faith. Jesus is not challenging our sight. He's challenging our faith. Because see, baby, look, a lot of things you ain't going to be able to see. But you got to know how to trust him. even when you think he's not there. Yeah, 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 yeah. If I can see it, it's not faith. But if I can't see it, then, baby, we know it's faith. Yeah, and Thomas' name is Didymus, meaning he's got a twin out there somewhere, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you have some faith and believe in the Lord's promises, baby, I stop by to tell you, he will make a way. No matter how difficult your issue is, you don't need to see everything. Yeah, yeah, that's our problem. We want to see everything. In and everything the Lord doing and going on around us, we want to see it all. Some of us too nosy, even getting in God's business. But you don't need to see everything. You just have to trust in the Lord. Trust in the process and believe he can make a way out of no way. Anybody know he's still doing that? When Thomas was confronted by Jesus, his whole tune changed. Last week, it was, except I see him. But this week, 8 days later, it's you are my Lord and my God. Have you ever had God to have to show you just who is in charge? You thought you was in charge. Have you ever had God to have to say to you, I told you so? Thomas answered and called him Lord and God. I believe he called him Lord and God because there are some things that only the Lord can do. If you don't believe me, only God can heal your family. Only God can give you joy in a sad hour. Only God can fix your heart. Only God can regulate your mind. Only God can make a way. Only God can pick you up and turn you around and put you on the straight road. Only God can save your soul. Only God can make these fools put these guns down. Only God can increase your faith. Only God can give you another chance. Only God can do something about our commander in chief. Only God can heal your body. Only God can encourage your soul. I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. I'm glad that only God can die on the cross. I'm glad that only God can be buried in a borrowed tomb. I'm glad that only God got the power to get up early Sunday morning with all power in his hand. And with that being said, I'm going to fight for my faith in him. I'm going to trust in him when nobody else will. I'm going to praise him when nobody else wants. I'm going to serve him when nobody else wants to. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere and anytime. Oh, I'm done. Ain't nothing wrong.